All right, this morning, we're going to be considering Satan's work against us as far as temptation is concerned and how we can combat him. So let's turn our minds to the truths of Scripture. First, we know that Christ was tempted, and Pastor Jim will be telling us more about that in a few minutes. But in Hebrews 4, verse 15, we read, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." Then also in 1 Corinthians 10, 13, we read, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." So we can feel free to run to the Lord. He's been tempted. He understands. And he will be a fortress for us. So stand with me. We're going to sing, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." Aren't you glad that we don't have to tremble at the Prince of Darkness?
Amen.
You know, we have God's word that overthrows him. We can be glad that the word of our God, because of that, our life is safe in him. And the devil's doom is sure. But you realize, don't you, that if we don't know the Lord as our Savior, if we don't belong to him, then we really have no right, apart from the prayer of repentance, we have no right to expect the Lord to answer our prayers or to keep us from temptation. Yielding to temptation is what children of the devil do. But solely because of Jesus working in our lives, because of his work of bringing us to salvation, we can say that we not only belong to him forever, but he's freed us now from the slavery of sin and temptation.
Amen.
As his children, we can resist temptation, but only through his strength. We can be thankful this morning that if and when we do fall into temptation, fall into sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And in 1 John 2:1, we read, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, our high priest. He's going to plead for us before God's throne. And God looks on him and pardons us."
Turn with me to Psalm 121. Psalm 21 comes after Psalm 120, which comes after Psalm 119, which is 176 verses about God's word. And after you've filled your soul with God's word, David's first word is, "In my distress, I cried to the Lord, and he heard me." And then Psalm 121 says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not permit your foot to be moved. He that keeps you will not sleep. Behold, he that keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon the right hand. The sun will not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil and shall preserve thy soul. The Lord will prosper your going out and your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore." Let's go before that throne that we just sang about. Father, you have invited us to come boldly here because we have access. One who has done life right, who has paid the penalty for us and purchased our pardon with his blood, and now welcomes us into your presence. The writer said to come boldly because there we will find strength and help in time of trouble. And you know us. We're troubled on every hand. Sometimes the trouble is our health, and sometimes it's our finances, and too frequently it's our relationships. And then there's all those other things around us, our economy, our society, racial unrest, things that plague our world. And then the sin that so easily doth beset us all. And you know it all. And you say, come, child. I'm the answer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
When we read the account of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, how was it that Jesus was able to stand against Satan each time when the devil tempted him? How did he counter that temptation? Through Scripture. That's right. Yes, Jesus used the Word of God. And, you know, we can and we should be doing the same. If we're going to counter Satan's lies that he throws against us, well, we need to know the Word of God and use the Word of God to stand against those lies. That way, we won't be so quick to yield to temptation. You may be seated. Our special music today, we're going to teach you a scripture song. You know, Sonia and I love singing these scripture songs straight out of the Bible. As I said before, knowing scripture is a good way to fight against Satan's lies in our lives. And songs actually are some of the best ways for children and adults to learn to hide God's word in our hearts so that we don't sin against God. We taught this song that we're going to work on this morning to Sonia's Sunday school class back in Kimberley. Maybe you already know it. If so, sing along. I was just going to say we're going to repeat the first verse, but for time, we're just going to go right on.
Okay.
All right, you can remain seated. You're still just learning the song. Psalm 19.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. More to be desired are they than gold, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb.
Now, if you forget the words, just look up the passage and it's right there in the Bible.
Find your way to Luke chapter 4. I've not sung that song, Yield Not to Temptation, a long time. I think I should have sung it more frequently because too often You and I both do. That's a great reminder. Thank you for sharing that with us this morning. Luke chapter 4 comes after Luke chapter 3, and we're going to look at that this morning. Father, your ways are not our ways. We would not do it this way at all. But what you have planned for us is the only way to restore us and equip us for life. And so help us to listen intently and bow the knee to the direction you lead us, we pray. What we don't have, give us. And what we don't know, teach us. And then give us a will to follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are two times in Scripture where Jesus hears the Father speak to him audibly in the presence of other people. One is at his baptism, and the other is the Mount of Transfiguration, where Moses and Elijah come and visit with him. Both of those times, God the Father tells Jesus what every child needs to hear. And what every child of God needs to hear is this same message, because it is what God gives us to prepare us for our tomorrow. Look with me, first of all, at Luke chapter 3, verse 21. John has been baptizing. Verse 21, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven opened up. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. Now here's the voice now. This is what the Father said to Jesus in the presence of everyone hearing. You are my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Actually, the way the text is written, it goes this way. You are my Son, chosen and marked by my love. You're the delight of my life. He heard three things from the Father. The Father said this to him, you belong to me. You are loved unconditionally, and you're special. Every child needs those three things in order for that child to develop and to grow. Because in our world, everything is uphill that's worthwhile having. So here's the message for today. Are you ready? Hold your right hand out like this. Thank you, David. Okay, now go like this. Now say with me, everything worth having, is uphill. Okay, so if I go like this, it means oh, that was weak. Everything worth having is uphill. Okay? Your relationship. You want to develop your relationship? You have to change. It's uphill. It's a struggle. You have to move out of your comfort zone in order to achieve it. If you didn't have to move out of your comfort zone, you'd already go out and you'd already have it. But everything that you want is uphill. And if you don't move uphill, you don't just maintain, you lose ground, right? Remember when I talked to you about the three stewards? Two stewards recognized the uphill challenge and they produced. And the master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. New challenges are coming. More opportunity to advance and more uphill. Okay? Those of you who are business people, you're always interested in taking your business where? To the next level. It's
uphill.
Now uphill, thank you. That's how Baptists are supposed to respond. Take note. Okay? We have that. Okay? It's true in our relationships. It's true in all of our development. It's true of our future. It's true in our business world. It's true in everything. Everything worth having is uphill. In order to do that, we need to hear these words from God first, because that's where our confidence comes from, your mind. You're unconditionally loved, and you're special. And what I have planned for you, you can do. Because you're mine.
Amen.
And you're loved. And you're special. That's important. Now, the second time you heard that is the Mount of Transfiguration. And back in Matthew 17, you get an addition to those words. And the addition is for us. Jesus needed to hear the message from the Father because of what he had laying before him. We needed to hear what was added because what's laying ahead of us. On the Mount of Transfiguration, there he sees Jesus and Elijah and Moses talking with him about what? His exodus. What's Jesus' exodus? Well, you got to have a Passover first. They're talking with Jesus about his death on the cross. That's what they're talking about. That's the trial that's coming his way. And before he goes and confronts that, the Father speaks. There's a light that comes and overshadows them and terrifies Peter and James and John. And that same voice speaks from heaven and said, this is my son, marked and chosen by my love, and I delight in him. He's special. And then the end of it, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. What's the end of the verse in Matthew 17? Hear him. That's for us. You know, the word here is not listen. The word here is to perceive and to understand or to mark him. So when your trial comes, follow him, do what he did when he was confronting difficulties, and you can get through the difficulty the way he got through the difficulties. And I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm finding every day. Lord, plant my feet on
higher ground.
There it is, see? So you now have the sermon. You can take it with you, right? Here's the sermon. You got it, okay? You belong to me. You're loved. And you are special. Now you're going to learn how the Father who loves us and owns us, and realizes how special he created us, trains us. You have to understand this process because it is not how we think. Come with me to Hebrews chapter 5. I want to just drop a couple of verses in while we're going and put these together for us. This is a biblical pattern that is so huge. Hebrews chapter 5. Notice verse 8. It's speaking about Jesus, who in the days of his flesh, when he had suffered, offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him who was able to save from death, and he was heard in that he feared God or reverenced God. Verse 8, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience through the things which he endured. The word suffered in our King James is our word to endure. He went through them patiently and let them accomplish what God had designed to do for him. Matthew chapter 5. This is our invitation. Verse 1. When Jesus saw the multitudes coming to him, he climbed up into a mountain. And when his disciples, those who were committed to him, came with him, he sat down and taught them, not the multitude. I've heard that preached that he taught the whole crowd. He didn't teach the whole crowd. The text is very clear. He taught those who came with him, those who were his climbing companions. How many of you this morning want to climb higher with Jesus in your life? Okay? So this is how we're going to do it. You're going to climb higher the way that he climbed higher because... Thank you. See? That's why we have to. He's taking us to the place that we need to go. He's put those desires in our hearts because he can fulfill the desire. That's why he puts them there. And when you understand this picture, then it makes sense. Every time God wants us to grow, he takes us out of our comfort zone. Because if we're in our comfort zone, we're an idol. And if we're an idol, we're losing ground and we're going downhill. What about the third steward? Let's call him Leroy. What about Leroy? How are we going to deal with him? Well, he didn't go out of his comfort zone. He took what the master gave him and just went into neutral with it. And he was lazy. That's what his master said. He didn't want to be out of his comfort zone. He didn't want to be stretched. He didn't want to do what he had to do in order to succeed. He didn't want to go uphill. And what happened? Take from him what he had and give it away. Now, the Lord did not punish the third steward. The third steward punished himself. Okay. Because when you do nothing, you lose everything. Things break apart, things break down, because we don't do what we need to do. She's not here, so I can talk about her behind her back. And I'm going to talk about me behind her back. She knows this. She would never tell you this, so I'll have to tell you this. Kathy and I have been married, this will be our 49th year. Isn't that an amazing thing? I once went to a pastor's conference and they were introducing themselves. Hi, I'm Pastor so-and-so and I've been married this long and I'd heard somebody else quip and so I picked up on it. I'd only been married about 40 years at the time. I said, hi, I'm Jim Owens and my wife Kathy and I have been married 40 years. And I go, I said, to six different women. And they're all trying to wipe their applause off. I said, when I married her, she was, you know, a young teenage girl. And then she was the mother of toddlers and then preschoolers. And then she was the mother of teenagers. That was an event. And then she was an empty nest mom. And now she's a grandma, you know, and so I've been married to six different, every time she changed, I had to start over all again. But it didn't always work well, and it wasn't always comfortable. In fact, I'll tell you, I'm ashamed of this, but I'm, you know, confession's good for the soul. There were times when I was so frustrated, I just moved and slept in a different bedroom. You know why I did that? Because I was lazy and I wasn't willing to change. That's why it happened. As soon as I got back on track and let God go to work and move me a little higher, my wife had to react to me, and lo and behold, it's getting better all the time. You see what I'm telling you? When you go into neutral like that, God reminds you who you are, and then he sends you to the wilderness where you're tested. That's what he did for Jesus. Luke chapter 4 comes after Luke chapter 3. Jesus is baptized in Luke chapter 4. Our chapter 3, and in chapter 4, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Boy, that's weak for what really happened there. Go back and read Matthew's account. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17 said Jesus heard God tell him that he was his and that he was loved and that he was special. And it says, immediately the Spirit drove him out into the wilderness. It's a New Testament version of God drove Adam out of the garden. Why did God drive Adam out of the garden? Because Adam was loved. Because Adam was his. And because Adam was special. Out of the garden was the wilderness. That's where he went. And Jesus was driven out into the wilderness to be tested of the devil. That's what's happening. That's how the Father trains his children, because whatever is not tested can't be trusted. Did you get that? Unless your faith is put to the test, you can't rely on it. When it's been put to the test and you've passed the test, you come out the other side stronger and you can trust your faith in what you were not able to do before, now you're able to do. You've been made stronger by your faith. That's how God develops us as his children. Everything worthwhile is uphill. And it all happens outside my comfort zone. So James says, count it all joy when you enter into different kinds of wilderness experiences, different kinds of things that knock you out of your comfort zone. That the trying of your faith, Peter says, might be much more precious than gold which perishes. See, you're being refined. It's a pattern throughout the Bible for us. Our success last Sunday was outside our comfort zone. You want to know a secret about church growth? It's all outside your comfort zone. And I won't ask for a show of hands. I know who you are. And those who didn't, I know who you are too. How about that? But see, all of those of you who invited people and so on, how many of you followed up on them this week? You did? Good for you. You can raise your hand. Other people are, I hope he doesn't ask me to raise hands. See, there's no reason that the almost 60 people that were here last week shouldn't be here this week. Is there? See, it happened outside our comfort zone. You got outside once, you go the next time. See, that's how it happens. But you're all to be applauded. You made the first step. You stepped outside your comfort zone, you contacted people, you connected with people. And then the next step is you attract people. Simple process. So this week is the wilderness, and you're being tested. And why the wilderness? Well, testing puts it to practice. It makes us something that we can depend on. They go way back in the Bible this way. Abraham, Genesis chapter 15, a good reference. God comes and greets Abraham, and he said, go out and look at the heavens. Count the stars up there. That's the kind of blessing I have for you. You want family? Put a child's face on every one of those stars. I can do that for you. So how will I know this will come to pass? Well, I'll make a covenant with you. Get the covenant ready and we'll walk through the thing together. And Abraham fell asleep and God took both sides of the covenant on himself and came out the other side and he said, know this for certain, I will bless you. And then he says to him, and your family will go down and be subject to a people that they don't know for 400 years plus, 430. And afterwards, I will bring you out. See, blessing is followed by wilderness. Our joy is cast against our tears. And it's in those tears and in those struggles that God helps us discover new joy. That's his plan. That's his purpose. That's how he does it. He does it over and over and over again. Israel goes down into Egypt. They're there. God brings them out with a high hand. They spoil the Egyptians, take all of Egypt's wealth with them. They come to the Red Sea, and God delivers them through the Red Sea, and they come out the other side, and they start dancing and singing, the Lord is my strength and my song, and he's become my salvation, my Father's God. And God said, you're mine. You're loved unconditionally, and you're special. Wilderness. Why? Because you're mine, and you're loved unconditionally, and you're special, and it's too important for you to miss what I have planned. Everything that happens in the Bible is that way. Today's lesson is everything worthwhile is uphill. I'm editing, can you see? I have too much to say, so I'm edited it out, and I'll try and get us done on time, and then we'll pick up where we left off. Here's the question of the morning. What do I learn going into the wilderness and coming out of the wilderness? Because God takes us in, but he brings us out. He brings us through. You're important to me, you belong to me, you're loved by me, and you're special to me. Now I've heard that. Don't despair. When things come your way and they're difficult, you're loved by me. I'll never leave you or forsake you. When you go through, I will go through with you. In fact, when I think of that verse, I think of Isaiah 43. Israel is told by Isaiah, you're going into the captivity into Babylon. And then in Isaiah 40 says, comfort my people that her warfare is accomplished, for she has received from the Lord's hand a doubling for all of her offense. We'll talk about that some other time. Isaiah 43. But now thus saith the Lord, O Israel, who created you? I made you. And he who formed you, fear not. I have created you, I have formed you, I have called you by your name, you are mine. When you go through, I will go through with you, and you will grow. What a great verse that is. When we understand God's pattern and God's plan, we can fit into it. And our troubles don't become things that pull us down, they become things that set us free. That's what they are. The last 4 years in our country have been wilderness years for everybody. Pandemics, scamdemics, economicdemics. All the demics in the world piled up on us, uncertainty, unfamiliarity. How many of you got blown out of your comfort zone in the last 4 years like me? Big time, big time. What do we do? How do we make our way through that? Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, right? Therefore, seeing how we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. They're not in the cheering stands up there cheering us on. That's bad theology. They went before us and set the example and blazed the trail. They've already witnessed. Their life is the witness. Look back to them. See how they did it. You can do it too. They aren't any smarter or better than you are. But more importantly than that, looking unto verse 2, who? Looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. In other words, you want to learn how to get through your wilderness? You want to learn how to get through? Set your eye on Jesus. Look how he did it.
Amen.
Which is Luke chapter 4. Here he is in his wilderness experience. So let's just jump in here real quick and see what happened, because in the wilderness, he grew. Luke chapter 2, I lost it, 52, I think. Check me out. It said, Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and with favor with God and men. He grew, and I thought he was God. He came as a man, and he had to grow. Everything for Jesus was uphill. And he never declined to go uphill. That was God's plan for him. So at his baptism, he went uphill, and he went into the wilderness. At his baptism, he presented himself as our sacrifice. And at his transfiguration, he submitted himself to be our sacrifice. Now, going into the wilderness, three things in 5 minutes. And then coming out of the wilderness, three things still in 5 minutes. You don't believe that, do you? Not for a minute. Well, let me start and we'll see how we went. Three things you have to understand about God's process of the wilderness. Number one, no matter who you are, because you're loved by him, because you need to develop your faith through him, you will be tested. That's an important thing. We ought not to be surprised by the fact that we have wilderness days that knock us out of our comfort zone. They happen because God loves you. That's why. Did you get it? See, it's when we're, Hebrews 12, trained by God, disciplined by Him, chastened by Him. See, when we're developed by Him, every child that He receives, it says, He trains. That's our word, chasten. He trains that child. What do you expect parents to do? So He trains us, and we will be trained. Then number two, testing's good for you. These things are not meant to destroy you, they're meant to build you. Because everything that's worthwhile is where? Uphill, out of our comfort zone. That's God's plan. It ought not to surprise us then when we see difficult days come. What did it test with Him? That's an interesting thing for me. Because testing shows the validity of our faith. Once it's tested, it can be trusted. Once your faith has passed the test, you can rest on it and rely on it. If it worked once, it'll work again. Always. How was He tested? Number one, He was tested in His humanity. Maybe I'll stop here and we'll come with the rest of it next time. He was tested in His humanity. For 40 days, He's in the wilderness and He hasn't had anything to eat or drink. And afterwards, it said He was hungry. I can imagine. If I go, 12:05, it's hard for me to preach for all the stomachs growling at me out here. But see, humanly speaking, what He's telling us is that I'm being tested in the area of my weakness. And Satan comes to Him and said, since you are the Son of God, there's no doubt about who He is. Satan knows exactly who He is. Since you are the Son of God, just like Adam was the Son of God, he's defeated Adam and now he's going to try and defeat Jesus. Since you are the Son of God, make these stones bread. And Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
What's He saying? He said, listen, I live bigger than my hurts. I am not controlled by the things that cause me to struggle. I am not controlled by the things that bring me out of my comfort zone. I am controlled by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is bread. That's how you translate that text. Bread is life. Every word that proceeds out of God's mouth is life. I'm not controlled by my desires and my hurts. I'm controlled by something much bigger than me. That's so important for us to hear because particularly, our teens and stuff, I got your eyes, teens, okay? This is what they don't teach you in school. See, they teach you in school, well, you're privileged and you just deserve this stuff, and if you don't get it, then you ought to complain and protest and everything else. You're never going to go anyplace doing that. Okay? What's the lesson? Everything is uphill. Okay? And the struggle is what makes us strong. If you're still alive, God isn't finished with you yet, kids. He's got something bigger planned. Just get in the book. Do what He told you to do with what you have. And you'll discover that He'll make you bigger on the inside. You know what the biggest problem among teens is in our generation in the last 10 years? You don't you? Suicide. Biggest problem. Why? Because their talents and their abilities carried them beyond where their character could sustain them. They weren't big enough on the inside to carry the load of what they developed on the outside, and it destroyed them. Life is hopeless. No, it's not. Life is joyous. Every day is another victory. That's what we need to teach one another. That's what we need to teach our children. That's what God teaches His children. You belong. You're marked by my love. And you're special. And when you go through, I will go through with you. And when you come out the other side, you're going to be bigger on the inside than you were when you went in. Where did we get the idea that when I came to Jesus, everything was going to be easy? Faith does not take away my problem. Faith makes me bigger than the problems that I face. Faith doesn't throw out the struggles. It makes me stronger so that the struggles are not a problem. That's the confidence that this is the confidence that we have if we ask anything. Why do I have confidence? Because I've been through the wilderness. That's why I have confidence. It's a very simple program that God has for you and me. And I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to go back and fix things in the past. Jesus already died for all of that. All of my regrets, all of my sorrows, He took upon Himself. And then He said, today's wilderness, let's conquer it. You hear what He said to you this morning? Okay. You belong. You're marked by my love. And you're special. You can't be lost in the wilderness. You're too precious for me. I'm going to bring you through. And when I bring you through, you'll remember where you've been, but not for a second would you ever dare to change the path that you've trod, because you would have missed what you've become. Shall we pray? Father, there is a reason why Paul was a long time preaching. And preachers like me oftentimes are there too. Your word is much bigger than anything we could ever imagine. And we just get going and we're up against our limits. But you have told us a most marvelous truth this morning that the world misses. And that's why they fail and crash and burn. But we're yours. And we're called and marked by your love. And we're special because Jesus died for us. And if we'll keep our eye on Him, and handle our wilderness the way He does, you'll always bring us through triumphantly. And we'll give you praise forever in Jesus' name. Amen.